Welcome to Two Titans and a Hunter, a Destiny 2 podcast. A show where we discuss tips, tricks and tools to help all Guardians succeed and enjoy playing more. What makes us different? Well, we're not streamers or YouTubers. We just have a passion for Destiny and are dedicated to keeping Guardians informed and up to date with all the latest Destiny 2 news, information and opinions. We encourage your questions and feedback, and you can contact us either by email, twotitansandahunter@hotmail.com, or on Twitter at @twotitans_hunter. Now, on with the show. So this week, I am joined as ever by my partner in crime, breaker of RNG, the one and the only, Parody. And once again, gracing us with his presence this week, a man who needs no introductions, so we won't get one at all. So let's get started with the show.
Is it Jimbo the Magnificent or the Amazing Rando? Is that who's joining us this week?
It could be.
You never know. All right, so who's touched Destiny this week?
I was actually on quite a bit. I did all my Crucible.
I've done a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I did all the things I needed to do to be caught back up again.
Well, that's good.
Take it away. This week at Bungie for the 25th of April.
All right. So this week at Bungie, we got Iron Banner going on. You know, everybody's having a good time with that. Guardians mixing things up. You got the Wolf's Favorite Iron Burdens, yada, yada, yada. However, a lot of people are complaining because the Revelers... The revelry and the reveler. I mean, I know it's based on the same word, but it threw me off really bad. They've all been combined for. It says lively here, but let's be honest, it's nutty. There's nothing lively about this. It's absolutely bonkers, right? You got grenades going everywhere. Or if you're a hunter like me, I actually put my revelry's burden into my dodge, and what that does is it makes me not only invisible 100% of the time if I'm not shooting or throwing a grenade. But on top of that, it also reloads my weapon every time I go invisible. So I was just having bonkers amounts of fun. I finished all of my bounties in a day. A day. I was like, this is nutty, right? So anyway, going on. Whether you're skipping grenades or hunting Iron Banner rewards, this is the week to break all the rules and experiment with your loadouts. I just said that without even knowing that was there. Cool. Last week we covered sandbox super tuning on the next update coming out next month. Today we'll be looking at some of the changes that are in the development for the season of opulence. It's a little further out, but you can read here in the link that we'll provide to you to find out more for yourself. I didn't mention the hand cannons. It's fine. It's whatever.
It doesn't matter.
That's going to be the bulk of the show. That's going to be the bulk of the screaming. I mean, come on.
Right.
So, Verdant Light. Last week, the Revelers' orbs were disabled in Gambit, Gambit Prime, Raids, and Competitive Crucible due to an increased in guitar errors and activity disconnections, as multiple sources of progression for the Verdant Light Competitive Triumph are no longer available. The team has been investigating a change to the requirements for completion. As the above-listed activities no longer provide progression, players are required to create 200 orbs by defeating other Guardians with precision kills in Quick Play, Rumble, and the featured Crucible playlist. So this week, the playlist is Iron Banner, for example. At this time, my current plan is to reduce this requirement to 20 orbs. This change will be deployed after Revelry ends in Destiny 2 Update 2.2.2. Players who meet the requirement of 20 orbs will have the Triumph auto-complete after downloading the patch, which will also unlock the Party Harder Triumph and the Stimulating Spring Emblem reward if any of the other Revelry Triumphs have been completed. The antlers and the wings that we discussed... Actually, no, we didn't discuss it yet. So the antlers and the wings, they actually change colour depending on what subclass you're rocking, if you've managed to get them to drop. And that is one of the problems with the ornaments. The ornaments only work during the Revelry event, which I think we touched on last week. And they're currently not going to work past the 7th of May, so when the event finishes.
Yeah. Yeah, so don't spend that much time getting them, because they're going to be gone soon.
Yeah, and that's another thing. That's the second set of armor now that we've had the chance to get ornaments. The first set of armor that we got ornaments on whenever light level four, when we went up to light level 400, right? That set of armor that I can't remember the name. I'm such a bad host.
Solstice.
Thank you. Solstice armor. That those ornaments still work, don't they? I'm pretty sure they do.
Yes. I thought they still work.
So why can those work, but the revelry ones only work until the 7th? That to me doesn't make any sense.
Because Bungie loves to do these limited time events, like with the Haunted Forest. It's like, hey, we're going to give you these masks and things for this event. And after the event, you'll never need them again.
Yeah, so that's a mask. That's a gimmick. This is armor with ornaments. This is a different horse and pony, right?
Right. Well, they sort of done that with everything. It's like once any of the event related stuff is over, it's like once it's over, it's either, you know, it grants you a perk that you can no longer use, or it's too low a light level to infuse, or there's no reason to use it because it can't get random rolls, or...
With Destiny 1, I've still got half a vault filled with jack-o'-lantern heads, the flaming blue versions of those as well, other things that you could, you know, other ornaments that you could put on no matter what time of the day. I could go into Destiny 1 now and drop an ornament on my head, and it would work. So I understand people's frustration of them suddenly changing the rules.
But that's not an ornament. That's a potion. We're talking about ornaments that change the way your armor looks, like on a permanent basis kind of thing, right? Making your armor glow or set it on fire or whatever. You know what I mean? Those ornaments. That's what we're discussing. And you're right. You're right about the potions and everything like that still working. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we have anything. Yeah, we do. We've had some things that you can still pop in Destiny 2. Right, so that's a thing, but we're discussing.
The thing is, if you do your Gambit Prime and put all your armor on, you get the glow. You do your Nightfall with the emblem, you get the glow around your head. So, you know, if you get the emblem on or the ornament on your helmet, then why isn't it there forever? Doesn't make any sense.
That's what
I'm saying.
It should
be just obtainable in these 3 weeks, and if you do obtain it, then you know, as long as you keep the helmet, it should still be there.
Exactly. It should. And that's how it's always been. I don't know if this is a bug. I don't know if this is a problem or if this was intentional, I guess is what I'm saying. But there's no reason for them to deactivate an ornament just because the event is over. That makes no sense, especially since that ornament is on armor. You know, I understand the perks on the armor not being used anymore once revelry is over. I get that. Like you said, the perks are going to be useless, but the ornament should still be active.
Yeah. I mean, there's several issues with the ornaments. I mean, why are the ornaments not available from the final chest in the Verdant Forest? Why? What's the issue there? You know, you go to Eva and you get random packages that are available at 75 essence, but they can still drop blues. And again, why are they still dropping blues? It doesn't make any sense. It's a waste of, you know, Bungie's resources to create these ornaments and these armor pieces that only last a few weeks, because at the end of it, I'm not going to save it. I'm going to dismantle it and get back all my mods that I've put into it. It doesn't make any sense. And there was an update on, I think it was Twitter or on one of the forum pages that DMG put, that he's checked with the team last week and they've got a few notes for you for the following. Ornaments have a similar setup to the Reckoning weapons after update 2.2.1. Chances increase with each packet purchased that does not contain an ornament. This is character-based, so if you're hopping around from character to character and purchasing packages, your chances are increasing, but steadily across each. If you're looking to earn the ornaments, they suggest that you stick to one single character and buying the packages to have the best chance before the event ends. So they've tested this internally, and they've done the same on their account at home, just to make sure that works. So that said, the team is aware of the feedback over the content of the packages, the price of them, and the desire for the ornaments to last longer than the event. And they say, as with the tonic, the time it would take to develop changes, properly test them, and deploy them would take longer than the remainder of the event, though ultimately the feedback collected during the revelry will be informed to make future developments of the event. And thank you to all those who've been posting and will continue to monitor for the next 2 weeks. So, yeah, like we said, it's they didn't think of these things before they implemented them. Like with the, it's, you know, you've got two armor sets that you could have these ornaments on. People obviously want to come in and play their event and keep those ornaments, but you know, it's not gonna happen in the next couple of weeks, basically, before the event ends. And then saying that, I've joked about it last week, the pay to win from Eververse. So I was able to buy legs and a chest piece from Eververse. I did the 7 branches of the forest to get the helmet, and I already had 3 pieces of enhanced gear. You know, walking into Crucible, boosting up my Reveler's Tonic while wearing them, and then completing 5 matches, I got another piece to drop. I had 4 pieces, and then that maxed out the set. So Bungie saying that they'd never put something in Eververse for pay to win, they've kind of done that. I know it's only for 3 weeks, but I feel that it's a pay to win boost. You know, it boosts my chances against the opponents that haven't taken the time to do the other bounties, or are not interested in doing those other bounties, or they don't know that the armor pieces give boosts, you know, +1, +2, +3, +4. And, you know, you put your exotic on. I mean, for instance, I'd put on 5 melee mods and put the Syntercepts on. So I was just flying around the map, punching the ground, and just forever having, you know, an enhanced melee.
Hold on, just a second. Yeah, no, hold on. You said it feels like it gives you chances. You're talking about the chances, right? But the thing that gets me is it is 100% pay to win, right? Because what's the perk on the armor? It increases the recharge rate of whatever tonic that you're using. So that means more nades, that means more melees, that means more whatever, right? So it is pay to win. It doesn't just increase your chances of getting more armor or whatever, right? You get a playable advantage against people that A, didn't buy anything from Eververse, or B, haven't had any of those things drop in the game yet. Like, I did my whole thing. I'm going to be honest with you. I did the whole thing wearing the armor that I always wear because I was an idiot and didn't realize until I was done that the armor gives you perks, which make your stuff recharge even faster. I'm like, well, that was really necessary, wasn't it? You know?
What did you pay? What did you pay with? Bright dust or silver?
Bright dust.
But still,
so I mean, it's pay to win. It's also sort of play to win. Like, can you buy bright dust from anywhere? Like, could
yes. Okay, you could spend silver, to buy those packages that give you the bright dust inside.
Okay. I mean, again, I don't buy anything with silver except for the, you know, little bit I got from getting the bundle when Forsaken or when the annual pass came out. So I wasn't sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you can buy silver to then buy bright dust.
Like an exotic sparrow that you get from her gives you 500 bright dust, and an exotic gives you like 1,000 or something. You could get a lot of bright dust for paying silver.
That's what I was trying to remember, because I was like, I didn't think you could buy it directly, but yeah, you can buy the stuff with silver to then either break down or buy the packages, whatever. Okay. Yeah.
But it's something they would never do.
Right. Well,
so I don't know whether they've done it on purpose, just to test the waters of, we've given you one avenue to get enhanced gear this way, but if you want to skip that way, you can get the enhanced gear this way.
I mean, obviously they've done a lot of things they said they were never going to do, but yeah.
And what I
like nerfing weapons, our rant for tonight again.
No, it's your rant.
Right. I mean, it's pay to win, but it's, I don't know, like a, you know, it's a time gated, you know, semi pay to win. Like, yeah, like for 3 weeks you can pay to win and it'll be amazing. After the 3 weeks, you've wasted your money because it won't do you any good. So yeah, I mean, it is a little bit of pay to win, but it's also, it's not like I can take this stuff into comp in a month and, you know, go and wreck everybody
For the next 3 weeks.
Well, right. Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, yeah, but so can everybody else, which, you know, like I said,
not even over the next 3 weeks, right? But let's look at this objectively, right?
Next week, really.
By now, at this point, a lot of people have armor and everything like that, right? But let's take this back a little bit, right? The people that noticed that she was selling armor that had these perks on it, the very first day, in the very first, I don't know, minute, hour, fill in the blank, they already had an advantage over everybody. So at that point in time, they could have gone into comp or whatever and just troused whoever was in there because they could do this. You see what I'm saying? So yeah, now people have the armor, but day one, when that was out, what kind of quote-unquote pay-to-win advantage did those guys that noticed that have over everybody that was still earning armor?
Right. Yeah, but yeah, certainly some. Yeah, I mean, certainly there is a little bit of a, there is some of the pay-to-win advantage that you get Yeah, I mean, I think in the scheme of things, it's a very, you know, very limited pay to win. But yeah, but absolutely. I mean, it is definitely some moment of you're gonna get a jump on somebody for noticing that. You know, the same way that people were able to, you know, to utilize the bugs for like when the pinnacle weapons were dropping, we were able to get thousands and thousands of enhancement cores because they were to pick up, you know, 57, 21% deliriums. You know, there's some advantage you're gonna get. I'd say, you know, the things with the bugs like that are a much bigger thing than the pay to win. But yeah, I mean, it is absolutely a part of a little bit of a pay to win in the game. Now, you know, how much it affects things in the long term, not really, but you know, we'll see where it goes. I mean, again, Bungie still, they've got to figure out ways to make money. Like, you know, it's going to be a different thing going forward, because they, you know, they got to make money to pay all these people somehow. So, you know, we're going to see some kind of changes. You know, they've got to generate revenue, because honestly, you know, we aren't using silver to buy packages by and large. We're not buying the fancy emotes and other stuff.
I would personally fund Bungie if they ever had an option to use silver or bright dust to buy slots inside of your vault. I would fund them solo, right?
Right. There's certainly things people. I mean, heck, Panoramics 18. You know, our buddy and clan founder is at the point where he's like, I will pay Bungie if they will just give me the Sunrise Warrior shader. He cannot get it to drop. It will not drop for him. He's like, I will give you cash if you just let me get the shader to drop, so I can add it to my you know, character, so I can play with it. Like, you know, there's stuff people that, you know, people are willing to pay for. Again, when the RNG just screws them to the point where, you know, let me just pay for the thing. Let me just
Didn't
do something.
Did Eververse sell those at one point
to get this? May have. I don't know. Probably, but you know, he wasn't on or didn't realize the week that it was sold. Whatever, and you know, it's like once it's gone, it's gone. Sorry, this thing you'll never have again. You know. Let us buy the stuff that's no longer in the game. You know, if you want the trials armor that they take out of the game, all the stuff they've removed, you know, put it back in the game. Let us buy it. You know, there's someone out there who will buy this. You know, if you want to make money, give people a way to get things like that.
Yeah, but before we do that, there's something important that just came to mind that I have to share with you and everyone else. From now on, us and everybody who's listening needs to equip all of their weapons and armor with that shader. And seek out Panoramics 18 and everybody show him that we all have what he will never achieve.
If you manage to do it, Pan plays on the US Eastern servers. He's on the same servers that I'm on. So if you're on the US East Coast, please seek him out, find him, dance near him. If you've got the Otter Dance, walk up to him in Otter Dance. He will absolutely be infuriated. It'll be amazing. Please do it.
He'll probably invite you to the clan.
Yeah, you will probably get a clan invite at that point.
You get a clan invite.
No, he won't send the clan invite if they don't wear the pink. The clan color? The clan shader, man. I can't remember.
Otter Dance is also a way in.
Dusk and Dawn.
Is it now? Is that a new Dusk and Dawn? Thank you. Otter Dance is a new one that's been opened.
Oh, Otter Dance is a new buddy. Otter Dance has been here since the beginning.
Really? That's the one where you dance clapping like an idiot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I didn't know that was going from Arrested Development.
I mean, I knew once you were in, you had to have the dance equipped at all times, but I didn't know that was a requirement to get into the client. No, not a requirement. I'm sorry, I didn't know.
It's
that,
not. But if he sees you dancing with that in the tower, you immediately get an invite.
Yeah, you're probably getting an invite because
who you are.
So few people. Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're in a clan or not. And yeah, if you've received a Frozen Clan invite, don't feel bad about turning it down. We send them out very freely.
Yeah,
but yeah, if we see someone Otter dancing, they're probably getting a clan invite because nobody uses that dance.
That's an absurd. Amazing dance. I don't even know why that. Why,
that's
why
what I'm saying.
I think the dance is funny as hell.
That's why we invite people to use it. They clearly have good sense.
So just saying the pay to win, I found it strange this week that no other YouTubers are talking about this, or I haven't heard it in the community. I haven't actually looked actively. But normally there's a YouTube video going, oh my God, Destiny, you know, pay to win. But nobody's kind of picked up on it as yet, that it's kind of slyly been put in there.
I think it's for the reasons that we already mentioned. You know, the fact that this is something you can earn, and you can earn it relatively quickly, relative being quotation marks, right? You can get all the pieces of armor just by completing her bounties, right?
But that was the worry. From what I was listening to from previous, because, I mean, I've never played a game where you've had the option to kind of pay to win. So I wasn't really aware of it. It was only through listening to other podcasts and other YouTubers describe what had happened in these other games that they'd played that, you know, and they were afraid that Bungie might end up going down that route with Eververse. You know, they've slowly kind of gone that way, but haven't actually kind of crossed the line. Right. But seeing this, I see that they've then crossed the line just for 3 weeks, but nobody's actually said, oh, Bungie have done this. What are you playing at? You know, you said you'd never do something like this.
So what you're saying is breaking news exclusive to Titans and One Hunter. Bring you breaking news from the Bungie community. Pay to win is now a thing in Destiny. You've heard it here first, unless you didn't hear it here first. But you probably heard it here first from our breaking news desk.
So yes, moving on.
Emblems, weapons, guns, excitement, thrills, chills. I don't know, something.
Well, I'll just finish off the this week at Bungie. The Spring Fever part of the TWAB this week. Last week on Tuesday, the Reverie kicked off with its second week in Destiny 2. Whether you're plundering the depths of the Verdant Forest or you're bringing good moods to your favorite activity, there's still another full week ahead of us before the Reverie ends this weekly reset on May 7th, 2019. As a reminder, each new week brings refresh of weekly bounties to Eva Levante. Players complete these bounties to earn powerful inaugural Reverie gear, as well as earn progress towards a bountiful spring triumph. Once a Reverie concludes, all unearned and unclaimed triumphs will be hidden, so players are encouraged to party hard while they still can. Additionally, we'd like to remind players that the tracking of the following known issues in the Reverie. So the Virisaren Emblem Tracker. We're investigating an issue where the Virisaren Emblem doesn't track the deepest branch reached during a single run of the Verdant Forest. The Reveric Light and Guitar Errors. To mitigate issues caused by elevated guitar errors in Destiny 2, they've disabled the Raids, Gambit, Gambit Prime, and competitive orbs that have generated. Jubilant Engrams. We've identified an issue where the Jubilant Engrams are not knocking out items as they were opened across multiple characters. We'll be reaching out to the affected players to resolve this issue after Reverie ends. So that's... They said they were going to do a knockout system, didn't they, for what you'd actually got?
Well, they got the knockout system for everything except exotics.
Except the Jubilant Engrams that are part of the Reverie that they said that there'd be a knockout system for. So some players might be earning multiple of one thing. And PC players, the Baguzia Forge and Ornaments are investigating an issue where PC players who wear Reverie ornaments near the Baguzia Forge experience crashing. To mitigate this issue, it's recommended to remove the Reverie ornaments before going into the Forge.
Let's stop for a second.
So stop trying to earn your things in the Forge.
No. Listen. It says near the Forge, not in the Forge. Near the Forge. So if you're in the EDZ, just hanging out down in the southern part of the map, you can't wear Reverie.
Don't go to that part of the map.
So near the Forge, not in the Forge, near the Forge. That's what's important. Also, another thing I want to bring to mind. You're making fun of me about muting between the sessions, right? We absolutely love it. And I say assume a lot of people out
So for more information on Reverie, players should visit our Reverie guide. And that was this week at Bungie.
All right, boys and girls, hang on to your seats, grab a snack. I hope you've gone to the bathroom. It's time for Respawn Rants. Respawn, what are you angry about this week?
Okay, so I'm not really angry, right? Because I kind of saw something like this happening. It's just more expected, right? So even though I'm not angry, I still knew it was coming. And it still doesn't really lessen the sting, right? Everybody who's been paying attention to anything online knows that Not Forgotten and Luna's Howl is about to get nerfed. And when I say nerfed, what I mean is it's going to lower the rate of fire, but increase the damage. And there are some YouTubers out there who are actually happy about this, right? Because the gun, yes, it did have a good TTK, but now that they've lowered the fire rate, not by a lot, I mean, it's going to go from 180 to 150, but they're increasing the damage accordingly because it's going to go down to a lower RPM. So a gun that was already 2 and 3 tapping is potentially going to just 2 tap, right? So we'll have to see how this plays out, but I suspect it's probably going to have a faster time to kill because of the extra damage. I might be wrong. It might leave somebody with just like, you know, one health and they got to get that third shot to kill them. I don't know. We'll see. But I feel that this is going to make the guns actually more powerful instead of less powerful. Now, in saying
that, would you like to tell people what Bungie have said? Roughly.
Yes. Yeah, okay, fine, whatever. We'll say the actual official stuff, right? Here we go. At the release of Destiny 2 Forsaken, two pinnacle weapons became available. You're rubbing off on me, demon. At the release of Destiny 2 Forsaken, two pinnacle weapons became available for players to earn in the competitive playlist in the Crucible. Each weapon has a unique quest requiring mastery of hand cannons to complete. There has been a lot of feedback on how the Pinnacle Crucible hand cannons stand above most other weapons in the sandbox. Today, we'll be going through some of the balance changes planned for the Season of Opulence. Kind of already did that. We wanted to start this conversation early to ensure players understand that change was coming, even if they were still on the path to acquiring these rewards. Here's the Destiny Dev Team to walk us through the planned changes. Dev team, we wanted to give you a preview of some plans we have to balance Luna's Howl and Not Forgotten in Season of Opulence. After significant amounts of feedback, internal discussion, and playtesting, we have decided to adjust how these hand cannons work. For some players, these weapons can represent a significant investment of time and the personal improvement needed to acquire them. When tuning, we attempt to take into account the time commitment players make to acquire these weapons and balance that against how these weapons will affect the different game modes. The Magnificent Howl unique perk is too effective. It works in a neutral setting and rewards players for getting precision shots, something we all do naturally anyway. As a result, the time to kill of the game shifts to meet this new benchmark, and players feel that the majority primary weapons in Destiny 2 cannot compete with these pinnacle weapons. Our current plan is to make Luna's Howl and Not Forgotten the only 150 RPM precision hand cannons. They will maintain some aspects of their current behavior while taking on the firing speed and damage of the 150 RPM hand cannons. Magnificent Howl will also be adjusted so that it increases not only body shot damage, resulting in a 2 headshot, 1 body shot kill. Magnificent Howl will still give an advantage due to requiring less precision hits for optimal time to kill. Like we do whenever Destiny gameplay evolves, we'll be watching the conversation starting today on our plan changes. We'll continue collecting feedback once these changes go live at the beginning of the Season of Opulence. If you have feedback now, please make sure to sound off on the hashtag Destiny24 right here on Bungie.net. Anyway, so here we go. Getting into this, right? The changes, I think, are going to make the gun stronger. But that aside, right? He even said himself, getting these guns shows that you have accomplished something. This is a conversation we had a while ago. Whenever pinnacle weapons have to be more powerful, because you actually had to do something to earn them, right? By quote-unquote nerfing these or even buffing other weapons to bring them up to the level of the Luna's Howl and Not Forgotten, you're removing most players' desire to even get the weapon because it's not a benchmark anymore. It's not a staple. It's not a, hey, look what I did, look what I got kind of situation anymore. We went through this already about this whole, when you earn it, you feel good. When you earn it and you show it off, other people see that you did something. And in some cases, you even get that instant intimidation factor. He's gonna wipe the floor with us, you know? And it just happens, right? And by Destiny 2 messing with it, other people are gonna get upset. And we even have examples of the Twitters that have replied to DMG because of this, right? So here we go. One of them is from, actually, we're not gonna do the from. We're just gonna say what they say. No one trusts your playtesters, to be fair. See Vex on Tangled Shore, Revelry, and Crucible. Next one. I'm not really a fan of them, but I think buffing other weapons to match the Not Forgotten and the Luna would have been a better decision. This I do not agree with. I think that they should be powerful because people have earned them. They're supposed to be good weapons because otherwise, why would you go through the effort, right? Anyway.
You're not reading what people are saying. You're then putting in what you're doing.
Right, right. No, I thought I specified that I was saying this. That's why I said I disagree with that. Okay. and the rest of that tweet says, people just hate to see their favorite weapons getting nerfed. Buffs are always welcome with open arms. I agree. This is me talking. I agree that buffs are always welcome, right? But the problem is if you buff other hand cannons to be on the same playing field as the Luna's Howl and the Not Forgotten, you get rid of the reason to get them, you know? And that's stupid. You don't have pinnacle weapons and then buff other weapons to match those pinnacle weapons, unless you're also going to buff the pinnacle weapons, you know, to match. Like, let's say you make 150 hand cannons do more damage all across the board. That includes Luna's Howl and Not Forgotten, right? So everybody gets the change. But if you start bringing other weapons up to that level, what's the point? I mean, that's really what I'm trying to get at. What exactly is the point of getting these really, really great weapons, these pinnacle, keyword, pinnacle weapons, if you're just going to make other weapons just as strong? Or you're going to bring those weapons down to the level of other weapons? Anyway, next tweet. Man, that blows. Yeah, you might as well. I had started my grind for Not Forgotten, but now I've lost all motivation to go for it. Hell, I'd probably be taking a break from D2. Kind of what I said earlier. Only people happy about this are people too trash to grind for it. He said it in kind of an arrogant way, but I agree. That is something I can agree on. You know, I don't have it personally. I don't really like Crucible. I admit I don't like Crucible. Doesn't mean I'm bad at it. It's just not my preference, right? And again, you know, people grind for it. People earn it. It should be and should stay pinnacle. Last tweet that we have here. The only people crying about this are the ones that get, you know, crapped on using anything other than their crutches. So, I mean, people are already not happy about these changes, and rightfully so. They've earned these weapons, or they're, like this guy, attempting to earn these weapons so that they can stand on top of PvP, and it's going to be taken away from them, you know? So, again, I'm not really angry at this. I am disappointed, because I knew it was coming, you know? Destiny should stop nerfing pinnacle weapons. That should never be a thing. They should also never nerf exotic weapons. When it comes to the exotic weapons, I can agree that you can bring other weapons closer. Closer being the key word. They should not be as good as the exotic weapons. They're exotic for a reason. But like the other guy said, buffing stuff was always good. But exotics and pinnacle weapons need to stay at the top of their game. Otherwise, what the hell is the point? You know? And not even weapons. Sorry. Exotics in general. Armor, weapons, whatever. They need to stay on top, because that is the whole point of them being exotic and or pinnacle. So that's really it for my rant today. I don't know if you people agree with me. If you disagree, if you're one of the people that are glad for the changes because you're tired of getting shot by Luna's Howl, don't get me wrong. I hate getting shot by Luna's Howls and Not Forgottens, but I can usually counter them with like the Blast Furnace or, you know, there's other options out there. They might not be as good, but you do stand a chance against these people if you have good weapons. And if you don't have good weapons like them, I guess the whole get good thing comes into play. I'm not trying to be arrogant or anything like that. But if you, as a person that does not have one of these pinnacle weapons, can learn to play around these weapons and still kill the people that have the weapons, you, by default, in my opinion, are better than the people that have the weapons, right? Because if they have this pinnacle weapon and they're still getting killed by you, what's that say about you, right? So anyway, let us know how you feel. We got a Twitter, we got a Facebook, we got, you know, I don't know. We got a lot of stuff. Let us know what you think. If you agree with me, if you disagree with me, just know that you're wrong. I don't care. But let us know anyway, all right? So I'm good. That's it.
Well, I'd like to disagree with you, because I brought it up last week with regards to my son playing. Now, he was put into several matches, and it's not just been a couple of weeks previous. He was playing the other day, and there was somebody with the Luna's Howl that was, you know, killing people in his playlist. And it didn't make any sense why somebody of his skill level is going up against people like that. So you saying get good, he hasn't got the chance to be good.
But you got a problem with the skill level. you have a problem with the skill level, right? So that's a problem with the skill level mismatch. That's not a problem with having the gun versus not having the gun, right?
No, but you were saying if you're going up against people like that, use the mentality of get good or get, you know, better weapons. He hasn't got the chance to do either at the moment.
Why can't he get better weapons? Why can't he go to the Forge and get, like, the Blast Furnace? Why can't he go into Gambit and get any of those, you know, pulse rifles?
Right. He can do that, but he hasn't got the skill, you know, to go up against these people or to be matched against these people.
I understand what you're saying. I get it. The fact that a six-year-old is going up against people that I get why it's frustrating for both you and your son. But again, my son plays video games and my son gets frustrated, right? I play video games. I get frustrated. But you know what both he and I do? And I have this mentality. So of course he ended up getting it, you know, just by being close to me and playing games with me and whatnot, is you just have to get good. It sucks. Don't get me wrong. I am not condoning this. I'm not saying, oh, you got to get good. No, it sucks. I get it. But you do have to increase your skill level.
I mean, he will eventually increase his skill level.
That's my point. He will eventually get better. Maybe not now, but he will get better over time. There's no way of getting around it. As long as he continues to play this game where he's going up against people that have XYZ weapons, he's going to get better, even if he doesn't get those weapons himself. He's going to learn how to play around it. He's going to learn how to stay away or you know, whatever. He's going to learn the ins and outs of that weapon, the strengths, the weaknesses, how to avoid it, etc. So he's going to get better passively, just as he plays. Now, it sucks. It absolutely
but
sucks.
I'm just using him as an example because there are obviously other players out there that come up against the Lunars, the Not Forgottens, the Recluses, and they think, you know, this isn't fair. They're not on my skill level. I don't, you know, I'm not that good to go into comp and get those, you know, items. I haven't got the team to go and play with. Why am I having to face these people? Is it because the playlist is, you know, very small
now?
No,
it does suck.
You haven't got the players.
I've gone against those people in the Crucible, and I've gone against those people in Gambit. That'll just wipe out my whole team with a Not Forgotten or a Lunas Howl. It does suck. It upsets me, but they earn the gun. Even if I'm upset that they have the gun, I'm gonna be mad. I'm gonna fill in the blank, right? So I'm gonna be very, very upset. But they earn the weapon. I'm not gonna get mad that they earned the weapon. I'm gonna get mad that I'm getting trounced by that weapon. I'm getting mad that the weapon exists. I still believe it should exist. I believe that it should be powerful because somebody has earned it. But yeah, I'm mad because I got killed by it. Of course. Right? So I try to play around it. When I see that guy come back through, I'm trying to stay on the other side of the map and snipe him with a sniper or a pulse rifle, you know? I'm trying to play around him, you know? But yeah, it is 100% aggravating. No matter where you find a Lunas Howl, you know, Gambit, Crucible, whatever. When you go against a Lunas Howl or a Not Forgotten, it's a bad day. Sorry.
When I initially saw on the This Week at Bungie that they were addressing the Lunas and the Not Forgotten, I thought, oh, okay, they're going to do what they did with the Redrix Broadsword and the Redrix Claymore. Give you two paths to earn the weapons. You know, you could go into quick play and do an extremely long quest to earn those weapons, or you could do the shorter quest in competitive and earn those weapons faster. You know, I thought that's what they were going to do. I didn't see this adjustment coming. Obviously, it's like they were saying, it's something that they've discussed internally and with the community. So it's something that they've taken a lot of feedback on, and it's something they've actually, you know, come to the decision on. They haven't said as yet there's going to be another path to earn it. It may come after Season of the Opulence, but it may not.
I understand what you're saying, and I get that. 100% I get that. And if I'm being honest, I don't like what they did to the broadsword. I don't. I don't have it. I never cared for it. I mean, I never cared to put the effort to get it, right? I'm good with the
scrub.
I am good with the weapons that I have. I like my weapons. I'm good with my weapons. You know, I treat them the way they treat me. We have a good relationship, and I have a decent KD, I think, right? It's not top tier, but I'm happy with it. You know, I do well in these games even without having these pinnacle weapons. Could I be better with pinnacle weapons? Absolutely. But I just don't care about putting forth the effort. Not for those weapons anyway. Not playing Crucible. You know, I don't like it. There's lag. There's all kinds of nonsense that happens in Crucible.
But do you see that there's an issue if they did give you two paths. I don't see that. No,
that's the issue. Yes, that is an issue because you take away. Why? Because you've taken away the prestige of it. You've taken away the prestige.
The idea is it's a pinnacle reward for Crucible. Now, whether you've earned it from doing
the long path or the short path.
The short path or the long path. Let's face it, if it's the long path, with the Redrix broadsword, you had to reset your valor, you know, 5 times in one season to earn that.
Yeah.
That's a damn hard thing to do.
That's my point. It is a damn hard thing to do. You hit it on the nail. It's a damn hard thing to do. And when you see somebody with that weapon, you know they did it. You see what I'm saying?
But that's what I'm saying. If somebody's done the Lunars or the Not Forgotten, why is there not an alternative quest to do that in quick play?
I don't want one.
Why not?
Because, again, you're taken away from the prestige of the weapon.
No, I'm not. I'm taking away the prestige of going into a toxic, unfair playlist, because once you get to a certain point, you've got everybody rocking Not Forgotten, Dustrock Blues, and Wardcliffe Coil, and four stacking as a team. So as a single player that can't find a team, you know, people have done it.
Yeah,
but it's extremely hard. Then you get the DDoSers, you know, that knock out the teams. I mean, I've seen loads of YouTube videos of people going in with their friends, and then slowly they knock down to like one person on the other team. And these guys are just cheating their way through it. It's a really nasty
cheating
way.
Is a problem. That obviously shouldn't be okay.
There were several issues.
But if you go in as a team and you work well as a team, then yeah, you're gonna destroy the other team.
And I know they've adjusted it this season, so that, you know, your losses don't pile up on you, because that was the issue for the first couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. That once you got a loss, you could go to 5 losses and still get, you know, your points taken away.
And I know you're going to disagree, but I actually disagree with that too, because even that takes away from the prestige, right? Because you could win a whole lot less now and still get the weapon than the people that had to win it legitimately or get it legitimately. You know what I'm saying? They had to win X amount of matches and not lose any more than Y, right? But after that change was made, they had a lot less matches to win and a lot more matches to lose and still get to the same point. Again, this is the whole honor system kicking in, the prestige of the weapon, right? When I see somebody with this weapon, I know that, hey, this guy is good, whether he's on my team or the other team, right? Now, when you take away from that prestige, now this blueberry over here has it, right? I don't know how
good
he is. Yeah,
but that blueberry's also earned it.
Yeah, but he's earned it in an easier way. It's like, hey, do I have to climb up this mountain using nothing but my hands? You see, it's not the same thing. One you've earned, the other one kind of given to you. Okay, maybe that's not given to you, but it's climbing a mountain versus an escalator, right? Or a set of stairs. There you go. That's a better analogy. Climbing a mountain barehanded versus climbing the same mountain on a set of stairs. You're still covering the same distance, but one is easier than the other. One, the guy has really earned. The other one, the guy earned, but let's face it, the other guy did a lot more to get it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
but, you know, there's things that they could put in the game to do that. Like with the Redrix broadsword, you got an emblem that if you didn't get it, you know, in competitive, you can't get that emblem down. So people can rock that emblem. You can also, if you got to the top Valor rank and reset it, you got an ornament for the weapon that would change, you know, the way it looked. So I could see that they should have done things like that with the Lunars and the Not Forgotten.
But
because let's face it, if to get to the Not Forgotten, you had to get to the top of the competitive playlist.
Yep.
So if you did the same as what you did with the Redrix broadsword and Redrix claymore, then, you know, the Lunars would be hard to achieve in one season, but they're not forgotten.
Let me ask you this: it should be extremely hard to get
in, you know, quick play.
Look, I might be the only one out here that's like this, but when I look at an emblem, I don't know what it means most of the time, right? Sometimes I do because I've earned them and I know how I got them, right? Most of the time, I look at an emblem, I don't know what it means. Hey, that's cool. That's it, right? But when I see a Lunas Howl or Not Forgotten or a Regis Claymore pop up on my screen, I know what that means, right? What kind of emblem they have, I don't care. I know what kind of weapon I got killed with. You see what I'm saying?
I'll throw something out there then that hasn't been suggested.
What's that?
What about a title? You go full whacking competitive, you earn the Lunars, the Not Forgotten. You get a specific title, a bit like, you know, the Chronicler, the Dredgen, those. But it's exclusive to just getting those two weapons in the competitive playlist. There you go. You've got your, I'm a pinnacle player, you know, I've achieved these. But if you do it in the quick play version, you don't get that achievement. Mm-hmm. I think people want to see the recognition on their character. And you're saying about the weapon, but give them a title like a lot of these people want. And all they have to do is earn those two weapons. No other requirements. Right. They get those two weapons and they get a specific title under their name. I think that would be a good way of showing that these people have actually done that in the competitive playlist.
That's a good suggestion. The other one that I have, right? Let's say if there's two paths to get to the same weapon. I think the easier path should have a weapon that's unique, but not as powerful as the original. See what I'm saying?
Like what they did with Redrick's Between the Seasons?
Yeah. Yeah. Like if you're gonna have different
they did that with Redrick's, but right. The past Redrick's is worse than what you can get now, because now you can add the mods on, and it comes with the extra.
We're not talking about mods. Get mods out of your head. I know that it can be better with mods. We're not talking about mods. We're talking about straight weapon, just A to B, right? So if they had one, let's say, all things being equal, they all have the same perks, right? Because that's what makes the weapon unique is the perks most of the time, right? You have Not Forgotten, the actual Not Forgotten, and then you have Sometimes Forgotten, right? Same weapon, kind of, but let's say the Sometimes Forgotten has a slightly less damage, right? Or there's got to be something making it not as good as the original, you know? It's still a good weapon. No, it is still, quote-unquote, a pinnacle weapon.
The same weapon. You know, regardless of whether you've done it in competitive or you've done it in quick play, but just make the quick play quest, you know, 10 times harder than what it is to get in, you know, competitive. It should be a weapon that is available to everybody. And I know they say that it is by going into the competitive playlist, but sometimes that's not, you know, the right thing to do to push people into that playlist. You know, I know we haven't got, you know, trials anymore, right. And there's a lot of people going into the competitive for that.
That might have been Bungie's solution for not having trials. I don't know. I don't know. But like, I know. I'm complaining a lot about honor system and earning and things like that. But you don't have to keep in mind. But my reasoning for this, right, is because in my life, right, in real life, I am a Marine, right. I'm a United States Marine, and that is a title that you're not given, right. They don't even call you a Marine, no matter how much stuff you go through, no matter how long you're in boot camp, you do not get called a Marine until the day you graduate and they put the Eagle, Globe, and Anchor in your hand because you've earned it. That Eagle, Globe, and Anchor is no longer a symbol, right? It's no longer just a thing. That is a representation of what you've gone through and what you've succeeded at to get this. Right. And that's why that's my whole mentality. That's where this is coming from. Right. If you've earned a pinnacle weapon, in my mind, it's the same thing as earning like an EGA. Right. You've gone through hell and back to get this weapon. You've earned it. There should not be another path to get to it. Not an easier path anyway. Maybe another path that's just as difficult, you know, maybe doing different things, but it should still be just as difficult. And if you are going to have a secondary path, it should not be the same weapon. Right, because you've done the easier thing, you get something that's not as good, right? You still have a weapon that's better than most, but it's not as good as like the Not Forgotten or the Luna's Howl. See what I'm saying? So that's my mentality. That's why I think Bungie should leave pinnacle weapons as they are. They are pinnacle weapons. They are exotic weapons. Leave them the hell alone. You know, people earn the pinnacle weapons. Let them trouse on kids. Let people get angry. Let people either get the weapons themselves or learn how to work around them, and that's it. You know, yes, people are angry. Yes, going against those suck. I know from experience, but still, I would not, no matter how mad I get at that gun, I would not have them weaken it or get rid of it or give an easier path to get to it. That's just me. He earned the weapon. He's trouncing on me because he's better than me. and that's just it. That's the long and short of it. So I don't think they should mess with it. Period. Leave it alone.
Well, in looking into this, I watched quite a few YouTube videos on the YouTubers' views on the Lunars and the Not Forgotten getting nerfed. And I picked out a couple of them and written a few notes on it. So we've got Mtash's views. He basically says that the PC have other weapons that can compete really well. So with the short range, he says The Last Word, and mid to long range, Ace of Spades with the Memento Mori can two-tap. So making these changes to the two hand cannons might just enrage the community about, you know, The Last Word and the Ace being too powerful, and you can't compete with them unless you're, you know, PC anyway. He also says he agrees with you. It takes a long time to get these weapons. So nerfing the aspirational content isn't something that is good. You know, it's something that you want to chase down. If you make it worse, people won't want to touch the content. He also says that there is a significant difference between console guns and the PC guns, and they might need to be balanced separately. And a lot of YouTubers have said this, that, you know, on PC, you've got The Last Word and you've got Ace of Spades that can compete with those two weapons, you know.
And if these guns get nerfed the way that they're talking about, again, I think this nerf is actually a buff, but that's just me. We'll see how it plays out. But if it does end up being a nerf, now those two guns you're talking about are actually going to be better.
But than I think the Lunar's
Howl and the Not Forgotten.
That's the thing. I think this nerf or this change is purely based on console. From what I'm hearing from the YouTubers, that they're saying on PC, it's a completely different world. Whereas we're seeing it from the console side, you know, because we don't play on the PC. But the YouTubers mainly play on PC these days. They've all moved from PlayStations and Xboxes across, in the majority anyway. Mtash says people complain about their top-tier weapons whilst using trash, and then top-tier weapons suffer the nerf, which is what you were basically saying, wasn't it, Respawn? That, you know,
yes and no. I think top-tier weapons should stay top-tier, but what I was saying is they shouldn't nerf the weapons, and they shouldn't make a second path to get the weapons because
of how he was saying earned. He's saying that, you know, people that go against these other players that have earned these weapons complain because they're using, like, you know, the not the meta weapons.
Yeah.
So then the top tier weapons get brought back down.
Yep.
And also the problem of meta will never go away.
And that's kind of the point, right? Let's say right now hand cannons are the meta. Right? Remember when scout rifles were the meta? Well, they changed some stuff around. Now pulse rifles are the meta. Pulse rifles and some hand cannons, right? Well, what if they change it around again? And then assault rifles become the meta, right? I think the pinnacle weapon should stay pinnacle. That weapon should be better than all of the hand cannons in this class because it's a pinnacle weapon. That's my opinion, right? Except for exotics. Exotics, like on the PC, can compete because they're exotics. They're also supposed to be the best of their class. Supposed to be, in quotation marks there, right? But instead of changing the Lunar's Howl or the Not Forgotten, change the meta, right? Make assault rifles really strong, right? Just make them like make the TTK low. You know what I'm saying? Increase the damage on those. And guess what? Nobody's using, you know, hand cannons or pulse rifles anymore. Now they're using scout rifles, you know, or drastically increase the range and damage on a submachine gun. You know, there's all kinds of things you could do to change the meta. So I think, like he's saying, leave the pinnacle weapons alone. And even if a lot of these people didn't even have the Lunar's Howl or the Not Forgotten, the stuff that they went through, the amount of games that they played and the people they played against to get those weapons would probably make them just as good with other weapons that they have in their arsenal. You know, I'm seeing myself included, I'm using the Forge hand cannon, the Kindled Orchid. Thank you. The Kindled Orchid. And I'm destroying kids with my Kindled Orchid, you know? And I've been killed by many Kindled Orchids myself. Granted, it's not Lunar's Howl or Not Forgotten, but they're good guns, right? So you take those guns away from them, they're going to be just as good with something else they have in their arsenal because they're good players, right? Let them have their good weapon that they've earned, and everyone else just either needs to get good, do something else, or figure out a way to play around it. But leave them alone. They're supposed to be pinnacle for a reason. The name says it all. Pinnacle weapons, the best of their class. Don't mess with them. Leave them alone, Bungie.
Another view from DPJ. He says that the nerfing is not the answer. Nerfing will just make people shift from those weapons to the next hotness. Pinnacle weapons are supposed to be pinnacle weapons, the top, the best to aspire to. Time to put in to get these weapons is unbelievable, and they should be rewarded with these weapons. And Bungie doesn't seem to be wanting to push the hardcore player base. And he doesn't have the Not Forgotten. He's not the best PvP player, but even he can appreciate them.
Yeah.
And then over on Planet Destiny, the Black Link did a video on the 12 this week, but his views on them were, it's not a good idea to nerf. Changing it from a 180 to a 150 is okay, and that's enough of a change to knock down the effectiveness. But again, acknowledges the differences between console and PC hand cannons. He says that they are Destiny are tone deaf to just address these two hand cannons whilst ignoring the elephant in the room with the inconsistencies in the archetype of this exact same weapon type. So I think he's talking about the bloom on the 150 hand cannons on console at least, because where you've got the Ace of Spades is, you know, just amazing on PC. You've got that bloom on the console anyway.
Or even worse, a better example. Sorry, I don't mean to say better example, but I think a more appropriate example is the last word. Look at the different. I don't know if you've seen those videos. On PC, it's almost vertical, right? And it's so much easier to control on PC than it is on console. On console, it has like a bloom. It goes all around, right? So it's just everywhere. But on PC, it's almost vertical, just going up and down with the recoil. So that is an extreme example right there of PC versus console, you know? And
yeah,
but the fact that that guy said almost the exact same thing I did just goes to show that Bungie needs to stop messing with pinnacle weapons. You know, that's all I'm saying.
And for those who may not know what bloom means, when you say bloom, what are you referring to?
So a bloom is, let's say you're shooting your gun at a wall, right? And a bloom is how far it spreads out from the part from the point at which you aim. See what I'm saying? So if you're aiming dead center, and every time you fire, it goes a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, a little bit up, a little bit down, a little bit diagonal. That is a bloom, meaning like a flower blooming. It's opening up as you fire it. You see?
Okay. So the bloom is I'm shooting at one point, and it's actually hitting another point, and how far that goes is the bloom.
According to Destinypedia, bloom, or reticle bloom, is a gameplay mechanic in many like first-person shooter video games. Especially Destiny. This is when the reticle on the heads-up display becomes larger with sustained or rapid fire, making the weapon less accurate. The reticle will return to its normal proportions after sufficient time has passed without firing, or other actions such as sprinting or walking can have an impact on bloom.
I mean, that's another way to say it, but yeah, I mean...
Got it. So one thing I was curious about, because I was just reading over, you know, my opinions on the two guns are sort of null and void because I have neither of them. I don't intend to get either of them. And honestly, I see Bungie Redricks that I grinded for last season is the new season will come out and then they'll put out some either, a different version of these guns like they did with the Redricks Claymore and the Redricks Broadsword, or they'll sort of make the guns, you know, they will no longer be the pinnacle weapons in that new season for, you know, whether it be because a new gun comes out or a new meta takes place. You know, the guns of the kings of the hill for now. But I was curious because when they say in their description, our current plan is to make Lunas, Howl, and Not Forgotten the only 150 RPM precision hand cannons. Now, maybe I was looking at the list because I don't know what hand cannon is what. Because the current 150 hand cannons are Dire Promise, Midnight Coup, Spare Rations, and Waking Vigil that, you know, are ones that I've seen people use and I've seen out in the game. And the Sunshot's the only exotic one. Now, I don't know if they're precision 150s or not, or if there's a difference. And then the only 180s right now, which is what Lunas, Howl, and Not Forgotten are the Service Revolver and the Malfeasance. So I wonder, when they say that, you know, these are going to be the only 150 RPMs, are they going to change?
No, it's the frame. Of the other ones? If you go onto the weapon, if you go into like dim.
Okay, so what's a so those are the only so these other 150 hand cannons are a different or will be a different frame, a non-precision frame.
Yeah, so the 180s
so Lunas and Malfeasance will be only precision frame 150s.
Yeah, okay. The Service Revolver is a precision frame.
Yeah, I mean, because Malfeasance is the only other 180 that I. But like Spare Rations, Dire Promise, Waking Vigil, those are all 150s. But I don't know what frame those.
Better Devils is an adaptive frame, and that's a 150, I believe. Oh, that's a 140. So they all have different archetypes of what the gun actually stays at.
So the other 150s are staying 150s. They're just going to be all different. You know, they're just not precision frame 150s. Okay. That's what I got reading that over. I was like, this will be the only 150. Then, yeah, I sort of gloss over the precision part of that. So that makes sense. Yeah, because I was like, are they going to change all these other cannon frames? But no, I'm sure they're all different.
Like frames. The Midnight Coup is a lightweight frame. You've got the 10 paces. And that is an adaptive frame. So the the frames all do different things regarding how the gun works. So what they're saying about the those ones is that they're staying as those archetypes, and they'll be the only archetypes in that, you know, 150 RPM.
Right. Yeah. They'll be the only precision frame 150. There will be other 150s and other precision frames, but they're the only 150 precision.
Yeah.
Frame. So welcome back to Parody Reads and understands how words.
No, it's fair enough, because I think sometimes when you know what they're talking about, you kind of drift off and just don't explain it. So yeah, I know what you mean. Like putting it back so that people in the audience can understand what we're talking about.
Right. Cause to be honest, like I largely don't pay attention to like what frame, you know, a gun is that I have. It's like, I know it's a this, I know it's, you know, I know what kind of gun it is. I know what perks it has, but I couldn't tell what frame it has to save my life. So good deal. Yeah. And then, yeah. So then I guess the Magnificent Howl perk, that's the rapidly landing two precision shots grants a short period of bonus damage until your next kill or miss. So I guess that's better than like Rampage or something like that. I guess it gives you more of a more damage on that, because they're saying, you know, once they nerf this, it'll no longer be a two shot, you know, a two tap kill. You'll have to hit at least three shots in order to get someone down with the Not Forgotten, the Lunas Howl.
See, I'm not 100% sure, because I don't have the weapons. I couldn't tell you how it works apart from watching like a YouTube video or a streamer go and play and see how it works, because I haven't got the weapons.
Right. Yeah, short of running into the Crucible and getting gunned down instantaneously, it's like, oh, I was alive a second ago and now I'm dead. Good to know.
Going back to what the Black Link was saying, he says that the Recluse, the SMG, competes and it's much easier to get than the other two. He says the changes to the Magnificent Howl is the worst. The 150 RPM hand cannons can already three-tap, that's three precision shots. The Magnificent Howl is a wasted ability on a 150 RPM hand cannon, as two crits and one body. So it's also going to hurt PvE, the Magnificent Howl. He says that it's quite a good gun to use in PvE, because if you're constantly getting those precision shots, you can, you know, just run through a strike and easily, you know, clean up things. That was kind of three negative takes on, you know, disagreeing with how it's going to work. I also listened to True Vanguard and Cool Guy, and from what I took away from them, is that they are quite positive towards the change. So True Vanguard says that the two guns have no recoil and a high aim assist. And he doesn't like that it's the easiest hand cannon to use, and you're putting it in the hands of highly skilled players. And this is some guy, this is, you know, a guy that actually has the weapons. You know, he's a very highly skilled player. And he's disagreeing with, you know, what Respawn was saying earlier. It should be something that's, you know, up there. And he said it's not hard to get precision shots with these hand cannons, because the aim assist is really high. It's not a high skilled gun. Putting the guns, the best guns, in the hands of the best players makes Crucible an unfriendly.
I never said it was a high skilled gun, right? I just said it was a great gun. It is a pinnacle weapon.
But that's what he's saying.
Is helping it out, you know, leave its perks alone, leave its damage alone, leave its rate of fire alone, and adjust the aim assist. You know, that would have.
Well, no, he's saying that the aim assist and the recoil, basically the precision frame,
yeah,
is, you know, makes this gun godly.
Yeah.
So, and you're putting a godly weapon in a highly skilled player's hands.
Yeah.
Of course, that's, you know, person's going to take it into quick play and completely wreck,
yep.
Which he says is unfair. It's not fair to the casual player, you know, putting these guns.
It's not fair. But neither, best players neither is a casual player playing a sweaty, no matter the situation.
No. If a casual player is playing quick play and they just want to play and enjoy themselves,
yeah,
and they're getting put into lobbies with these players, it's not fair.
They're
and
getting put in those lobbies with the players, whether or not they have the Luna.
Yeah.
They're still playing against those players, and they're still going to get trounced by those players.
But that, he's saying that it makes Crucible unfriendly for the casual and common gamer, which is then kind of taking people away from playing Destiny.
I see his point, and I see your point, but I don't agree. Because if that player is good enough to get those guns, he's good anyway. And if you're a casual player and you go against this great player, no matter if he's got the gun or not, you're still going to get your butt kicked. It might not be as big a margin, he might only kill you 20 times instead of 30, but you're still going to lose because he's a highly skilled player.
Yes, with a highly skilled gun.
Okay, even if he didn't have the gun, he would still destroy you.
No, but you'd have more of a chance to go against
would
that
you
player.
Though? Would you?
Why not?
It would be closer.
It would be closer.
If putting two people in the same room at different skill levels with the same weapon, they're going to have a closer result than if one person has a significantly better weapon. I mean, yes, you're better than me. You'll kill me 10 more times than I kill you. But there may be those times where I land that final shot or I get that, you know, last little kill to do you in. And I may not have had the time to get off that, you know, last shot with the bygones or that shotgun blast or whatever, because I've already been two tapped by the gun that. You're using.
But it's not, you know, it's not really going to change the game. Right? Because these are the same sweaty players
we would come. You say it's not going to change the game, but then what happens
because
if they did?
Think for a second.
But it turns people off from the game and then arrow all the sweaty players. PvP is dead. Nobody plays it. Well, yeah, because it's not fun to play. Going into quick play right now is a lot like going into the Iron Banner with the Iron Burden on and you're getting one and two tapped by things. Again, Iron Burden, you're much lower. I understand you're getting killed quicker. You know, it's like going in there. It's like you don't feel competitive. Like you don't feel like you're having a good time. Even going with a team when you're running against Lunatown, I forgot.
Right,
right. Close.
Let's turn the clock back.
You're just getting destroyed. And yes, you may be getting beaten anyway. But when I go into quick play, I don't want it to feel like trials.
But that's the point I'm getting at, right? The problem is not the Lunas Howl and the Not Forgotten. Let's turn back the clock a little bit, right? Do you remember before the Claymore existed, before Lunas Howl existed, and before the Not Forgotten existed, when trials ended and all those sweaties came to quick play, everybody hated it.
Yes.
Before these weapons existed,
yes.
It became not fun.
I understand. I'm still going to get outshot.
You see?
But it was still more fun. It was still closer. It was closer because I'm still playing what feels like an evenish playing field. They've got weapons that can two tap me. I don't have weapons that can two tap them.
Well, you do.
Now, you know, granted, it still takes the skill level to get the two taps. But, you know, largely, you know, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like we've beaten this topic to death.
We have. And it's been a long discussion. I think it's been a good discussion. But, I mean, in the end, I don't think they should mess with it. If you're going to touch anything on those guns, if you're going to touch anything, you should touch the aim assist. That way it becomes a good gun that also requires skill to use. Make the headshots harder to hit, you know?
I think if you do anything with the pinnacle weapons, you know, say either they're, you know, gate them in some way. Say you can bring them in the quick play, but maybe you can't bring them in the quick play, you know, against somebody of a certain KD, you know, and like have some sort of matchmaking.
How would you know?
Well, you wouldn't, but Bungie could do something on the back end. Or honestly, you know, say you can and use them in a pinnacle scenario. If they bring trials back, put them in comp. You know,
if you're gonna get, prime, if you're gonna gate, you know, anything, sure. Gate it into comp.
You know, keep if it in you're comp. Have them, right. That's what I'm saying. You know, you can use your pinnacle in the competitive place where you earned it, but you can't bring those competitive, you know, those pinnacle weapons into quick play. You can bring anything else into quick play, but you know, I'm perfectly happy to say, you know, you can't bring your pinnacle weapons like that into quick play, and that way you could keep the guns exactly as they are, keep them just as good and just as viable and just as deadly, but take them out of the, you know, 6 year olds running around
so
in quick play.
You
know, not running.
You don't want to let
not
those
weapons,
weapons. In the quick play non-competitive. But you're still okay with them going into, let's say, Gambit. What about PVE?
Gambit PVE, sure. PVE, bring the weapon into PVE because you're not hurting my experience.
Exactly. Okay.
Gambit is its own beast because, I mean, again, you've got snipers. You got, you know, there's enough other things you can do. You know, I don't see a lot of people running hand cannons like that in, unless it's the Malfeasance in Gambit. There's so many other options that are better for those scenarios. You know, run those other options. You've got so many other choices. You know, they're less of a dominant force in Gambit. And in, you know, again, PvE, don't care. Mm-hmm. Use whatever you want to run. You know, if you're on my team with a better weapon, I'm all the better for it. If you're going to invade me in Gambit, you're probably not using those guns anyway, because when I get killed in Gambit by invaders, or when I invade, well, I don't have to get weapons, but, you know, every time I've been killed in Gambit, it's not with those guns. You know, it's not with those hand cannons. They're using the scouts, they're using the rocket launchers, the fusion
rifles,
whatever.
But with the
whatever,
perks you get from the invader armor, that makes you even deadlier, right? And like I said earlier, I've played Gambit where my whole team got wiped out by a Lunas Howl, you know? And with this new armor, it makes it even easier to do that. So I would keep it in Gambit. Just that's my opinion, right? The only thing that I would agree with is leave the weapon alone and keep it out of quick play. I agree with that.
Right. Yeah. Either take it out of quick play or, for the love of God, actually have some real skill-based matchmaking or something. You know, have it say, hey, you know, this person has, you know, played zero competitive matches. You know, don't match them up with somebody again with a Not Forgotten or a Lunas Howl. You know, if they've never stepped foot in a competitive in their entire gaming life on this, you know, on this character, don't match them with somebody against this weapon. you know, again, and I have no idea how hard
they do that. They look at your score, like, because you know how competitive, you have a score, it goes up and down based on your wins losses. That's how they normally, you know, matchmake, right?
Right. But I mean, clearly that's not working.
Okay, fair enough.
We've got a 6-year-old against people with these pinnacle weapons, and
yeah, but again, the six-year-old's in quick play, not competitive.
Right. No, totally. No, that's what I'm saying. And that's a situation I want to fix. You know, this should never be a thing that happens. You know, if he's never gone into competitive, or if he's, you know, his what glory rank is, you know, 200 or 500 or below, you shouldn't be seeing these pinnacle weapons. You know, set some sort of threshold, or you know, if you've never gotten your glory rank above, you know, X number, you should not see these pinnacle weapons against you quickly. And I understand you could see it, you know, if you're running 6x, 4x.
I think that takes a lot of back end programming. I think your initial suggestion probably be the best. No, just skate it.
Totally. I mean, absolutely. I mean, definitely. Yeah, it definitely takes some programming. But, you know, that way you can still have your weapon fantasy. You can still have that reward you've worked for. But, you know, 6-year-olds aren't being run and killed. And honestly, it would make, I mean, Bungie's going to change the meta every couple months anyway. Honestly, I think when the season changes, we're going to see that even if they didn't nerf these weapons, there's going to be a changeover because they're going to make some change to the meta and these will no longer be the best guns.
Pulse rifles have been in the meta for like four or five seasons.
Well, pulse rifles are meta or Lutus Town are not forgotten. I mean, there's always some kind of changeover with the season anyway. If, you know, if they do some tweaking and tuning like they always seem to do. Yeah, but I would much rather see, you know, keep your powerful gun, but keep your powerful gun sort of, you know, not to yourself, but, you know, keep your out powerful gun. Play.
Keep it away from the kids.
Right, yeah. I mean, in a situation where, you know, you've earned this weapon, well, you know, bring it in where you can be powerful with it. But yeah, you know, and I'm sure people say, well, why can't, you know, I earn that gun. Why can't I go 6-year-olds? Well, if you want to go stomp on 6-year-olds, go play Fortnite, you know?
So to finish off what True Vanguard was saying, he says that he consistently goes up against lobbies of like 2, 3, 4, 6 stack teams, all rocking Lunars, Not Forgotten, Dust Rock, and Wardcliffe. And when he solo queues with Blueberries, who cannot compete with those things, he says they might not be bad players, but they're not equipped to deal with, you know, those stacks of people. Again, he reiterates that it's forcing people out of Crucible, and this change is needed, and it will be best for the community. But then to go one step further, we have got Cool Guy. And I was really hoping that Cool Guy came out with a really good video and explained numbers to us. And he did. It was a brilliant video. And I will link all these videos in the show notes. But Cool Guy takes a really positive view on these changes. He says that the issue is the time to kill on the weapons with 0.67 seconds, which is faster than 99% of other weapons in the game. Another acknowledgement for PC and console differences. In his video, he shows you the difference in the 150 RPM and the bloom. And he talks about the people saying to counter, you just have to place your shots and take your time for the recoil to settle before you fire. But in that respect, you're not firing the weapon at its 150 RPM. He doesn't think that the nerf's going to destroy them. They're still going to be the best 150 RPMs in the game due to the precision frame. But he says that the TTK is going to go up to 0.8 seconds now. The range is going to be somewhat irrelevant. And he explains that you'll be doing plus 11 damage more per crit. If you land two shots with the damage fall off, he says it'll be 55 to the body. And with the Lunar's Howl perk, can still make up the body shot for the 3-shot kill. The TTK is going to be more in line with the rest of the game. And he says it opens up weapons like the Kindle Orchid, pulse rifles, and some scouts, especially ones that have got kill clip on it. He says that the Trust, the Service Revolver, and the Ace can all compete better now. The last word is going to be now the fastest killing primary in the game with a 0.53 seconds with 3 headshots. And it'll again be 0.8 seconds with body shots. So basically tying it with the 0.8 that the 150s will now have. So last word players will now shine if they can hit those 3 headshots. He also says that the SMG, the Recluse, might become a top tier weapon. So I like his view on it. His video basically breaks it down that a lot of the weapons have a 0.8% time to kill, or 0.8 seconds to kill. And what Bungie are actually doing with these weapons are actually bringing them in line to make them, you know, more consistent meta across the board. So the players that are good with them will still be good with them, but other players will now have the chance to compete, which is a really interesting take on what Bungie was saying. And that's why I looked at several different YouTubers all going through, you know, their views on it. And a lot of them were quite negative and not happy with the changes. And then you get True Vanguard and Cool Guy come along and basically say, hang on a minute, guys, if you look at the numbers, if you look at the way the game is playing, this is going to be really good going forward. You see what I mean? And, you know, I trust what Cool Guy's saying because, you know, he's a numbers guy. And if he's telling you that the weapon's going to change just to be as good as some of the other weapons, maybe it'll give, you know, lesser players a chance to compete against them and bring, you know, Crucible back up.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, I mean, Bungie and, you know, the folks, the PvP players want a healthier game, want a larger community, and want people playing in the Crucible. You know, having guns that people are literally driving people away from the Crucible who won't even step foot in there, even when it's Iron Banner or other things, isn't helping the health of the game and isn't helping Destiny. I think, you know, the folks who want to live and breathe Destiny, if there's a better community, you know, they'll have more fun with the game, or people will play the game. I think that's the takeaway I get from it is, you know, I mean, Bungie's going to do what they continue to do is take a gun, say, hey, everyone's using this weapon. Let's change things up. You know, this is boring. This is dull. This is, you know, this is not an interesting game to play. People are going to go and do something else. So let's, you know, take those guns away, make something else the meta. I still think it'll be a good change. Again, I don't have the gun a strong opinion, but I think it'll be a good change just because you'll have more people playing the game. And that's good for Bungie. You know, it makes them more money. And hopefully, you know, we'll get a healthier game because of it.
Yeah, I mean, DMG on Twitter has kind of reiterated that the team has been hard at work on the changes and they're ensuring that the weapons are still viable, like heavy hitters in the sandbox. And coming from the playtest, they still feel like pinnacle weapons. So that's a good thing. He also says that the weapon will retain the recoil and animation of the 150 RPMs. So that's also a good positive thing that, you know, they're not going to have that bloom of the 150 hand cannons. And the change to the Magnificent Howl prevents two-tap kills. So, example, players could get two headshots on one enemy to proc the Magnificent Howl and then defeat a second in just two headshots. So, you know, this two position, one body is going to be a good change for it. You know, you're not going to get those players just dominating over and over. You'll have a chance. And again, they said that they're going to be watching the feedback coming in once the change goes live in Season of the Opulence and, you know, chime in with your thoughts and let them know.
I think that's interesting, too, that, you know, we've seen a lot of nerfs and a lot of changes to guns, you know, over the years and in the game. These are two weapons that a very, very, very small number of people have. Like, I was looking at the Light GG, you know, numbered form, and I know that's not every single Destiny player, but I think it was saying, like, Not Forgotten, it was like between 5-6% of players that had that weapon, and the Luminous Halo was like 25% maybe. So it's, you know, of those folks. So again, you know, more with Luna, but still, it's of the people that play Destiny, it's a very small percentage. I think a lot of people are going to look at this and just go, so I don't care. You know, maybe I'll get killed less in Crucible with it, but largely, so few people have this weapon. Again, it's not one that I saw and I knew this was going to be a major topic and I knew people were going to have lots of very strong opinions of it. But at the end of the day, I'm like, it makes no difference to me one way or the other. You know, there's going to be some pinnacle weapon. Maybe it's one I have, maybe it's one I don't, but I'm still going to sort of play in the style that I play with and have the same success I have with the weapons I have. And, you know, taking two guns away from a small number of people doesn't change my game very much at all. But again, I know it's, again, if you grind it for that weapon and it gets, you know, ruined for you, it's like, I don't know, playing Escalation Protocol after Escalation Protocol and finally getting the shotgun after it gets nerfed. You know, it's very similar to that.
I'm sorry, what? I was sleeping for like the last hour.
You started the rant.
Are you sure it's done? Goodness.
Done. Dusted.
Right. Whew. I need some coffee after that. Goodness. So heavy as death emblem.
So the heaviest death emblem We're almost to the weekend and I'm feeling heavy as death, not in a bad way. Truly, I'm on the grind toward the reward for the 2,500 Iron Burden kills and the Iron Banner. I guess this is DMG saying this. So it's a difficult challenge. It's 2,500 kills with the Iron Burden active. I think I'm sitting around 350 something. And I think Night Demon has gotten his 500 and I don't know if he's made his way towards his 2,500, but it's a wild ride to say the least. Night Demon has played a whole bunch of Iron Banner and he's put forth some numbers. So why don't you go over the numbers, if you can read them properly, that you've put forward about, you know, your time in the Iron Banner with the Iron Burden on. Cause like I said, I played a couple games with ODST on Thursday or Friday afternoon. And we were running into those squads of Recluse, Not Forgotten, Luna's Howls. And I mean, again, the Iron Burden's on, that's not going to help things either. But with the Iron Burden on and running into those folks, I was like, I'm done. I'm going to step away from the game. It's just, they get near you with the Recluse and you're just dead. Like there's just zero time to kill at that point. And again, I understand the Iron Burden's on. I'm 100 points lower. You know, I should be getting killed quicker, but it just got to the point where it's like, why even bother? I could throw grenades at you, but by the time I throw a grenade at, I'm still dead. So, Night Demon, why don't you go over the numbers? You looks like you played a good number of games here.
Yeah, so last week I was really excited. Heaviest Death Emblem. I thought, this is something I really want to go for. Yeah, I'd set myself this high task. It meant that I'd have to get 1,000 kills per Iron Banner for the next two Iron Banners because I'd already done the Wizened Rebuke. So I'd done the 500 kills already. And I thought, you know, I can get a good couple of hours playtime each day, set myself a daily goal, and really get on with it. So I found, like, the first couple of days I was really struggling. And I was like, this isn't really working out for me. So then the next day I thought, I'll write all my notes down. Let's go for this. So on testing, I was able to play 31 games over 5 hours, roughly about 10 minutes per game. I got 347 total kills or assists, and that was across all three characters. So it's 147 for the Hunter, 77 for the Titan, and 123 for the Warlock. But then my final blows at the lower power level, whilst the Burden was active, was only 213. So my takeaway from this is it's harder than what it should be. You know, it would take 10 days at 250 kills a day to get the Triumph if you were just starting out from this week with the Iron Burden, because I feel that the average player would struggle to play for 5 hours a day, let alone get 250 kills per time. You know, in one game, I got 21 kills and 18 of those were final blows. But the next game, I only got 4 final blows. You know, and it's really hard to kind of, it depends on what players you're going up against, because I was soloing this, but I was going into lobbies where people had got the Iron Burden on. So you could see that they were down to 600 or 580 or 570. So in that respect, you then have to take that into account, because you have to have the Iron Burden active. You have to be light levels lower than the next person, and you have to get that final blow. So looking at somebody that's got on the opposite team, that's got, what were they on? They were on 560, I believe. I then had to drop my light even further to go like 550 with, I think I put on a really low heavy weapon to really drop myself down even further to then go against those people. But then I'm getting one shot by the players that are in there at 700. And I can appreciate that, you know, I'm putting myself through this, but it's not a fair way of them working it out, because if it was just you had to get the final kills while the Iron Burn was active, I could be happy with that. It's the fact that you have to be lower than the other guy on the opposite team, so you're then putting yourself even at more of a disadvantage to go and get that kill, because you have to get that final blow. And that's the issue, because even running around as a Striker Titan with shoulder charge, you know, even Synthesep Spawn were not helping with the Revelous Tonic. You know, I'd put the synthesets on so that I could constantly just go around and punch people. And it worked, you know, a couple of times. But then that was if I was at their power level. If I went and shoulder charged to 700, I barely scratched them. It was like they just punched me once and I was dead. And I was like, okay, you know, and I feel, you know, this is a little rant from me. We should have had our own little music for it. But this triumph was only announced at the beginning of this week's Iron Banner. If it was announced at the beginning of the original Iron Banner with the Wizen Rebuke, I think people would have had a bit more of a chance to get the 2,500 kills. And the other issue is you've got triumph score that is also tied to the emblem. So people that are looking to improve their triumph score, you've got 250 points just sitting there that will just disappear, that you won't be able to obtain past this season. I don't know if you guys have any views on that, or if it's just me ranting.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that was sort of my experience with the Iron Banner is, you know, I've played, I'm not sure, I'm about halfway through my Titans bounties for this week, so I've played maybe 20 or 30 games total. And that's sort of my experience. Like when I was getting killed, I would sort of look in to see, you know, is this person around 700 or are they dropped as well? And most of the folks I was fighting weren't, you know, we're still at, you know, 690 and above or sitting at 700 largely. So, yeah, I mean, even running like the bottom tree striker Titan, when you're doing the, you know, the sort of the stampede, it would take three or four stampedes against someone at that level. And they would still manage to kill me with something before I killed them. Like, it was just ridiculous. It's like, at one point I threw on like the infinite shield with a Sentinel, seeing if that would work much better. And it's like, and even then you might get a kill or you might just get, you know, hit by anything, you know, the wind blows strong and you die. So it was definitely, because I had the same thought. I wanted to finish up my Wizard Rebuke and then maybe sort of head toward getting, you know, getting the 2,500, but again, just getting to that 500 is going to be enough of a grind. I'm just not enjoying it. You know, it's not fun. It's not a fun thing to go after. So it's like, while I would like to have this, I'm probably not going to do it because it's like banging your head against a wall. Why would I bang my head against a wall for, you know, something that I'm not even going to be able to get to use? There's no weapon tied to it. There's no anything else tied to it. It's just a frustration. I think this was just a miss. And yeah, it seems like just the haphazardness that. Sort of the, like, Season of the Drifter, I feel like it started really strong with everything Gambit related, and then sort of everything not Gambit related was sort of like, oh yeah, we have this. We should tell people that. We should announce this. It's just, it's been really inconsistent quality-wise with a lot of stuff coming out late and getting added to the TWAB late and things being announced late. It's just, it's been interesting. And I don't think it's a good interesting.
Yeah. You could do 99.99% of the damage on somebody and a skip grenade would just bounce across the floor in front of them and just tap them and they'd be dead. And it's like, I did all the work for that, you know, and I'm so disappointed. You know, it is the Iron Burn isn't a, it's a good thing to go for. You know, I like the fact that you've got this exclusive emblem. It's only available if you can grind it out in the next two Iron Banners. But let's face it, the average player hasn't got 5 hours a day to plow into the Crucible to do this because it's hard enough as it is to get the emblem, let alone those three requirements that you have to have. You know, it's, and then with these, you know, Revelous Tonics, you know, I was throwing out skip grenades like constantly, and, you know, one skip grenade would barely take down their shield. You know, if all the little sparkly things hit them, and you'd have to throw like four just to get them to die. So I was hopefully trying to just chuck out grenades to be that last little, you know, thing to take a kill from somebody else. But that's not how it should be. I understand that it should be final blows, and I understand having the Iron Burden on, but I don't understand the fact that you have to be lower than the other guy. That's the bit that doesn't make any sense because you're putting yourself at sometimes three times the disadvantage because we were talking about that when Iron Burden first came out with Respawn, you know, the damage goes down each 50 increment of your light. So if I'm like three increments lower than a couple of the guys on the other team, it's then putting me at a severe disadvantage, you know, let alone, you know, then the player on the other team sees that I'm that low, they've then got to go even lower. And you're just kind of playing this game of who can get the lowest as possible without, you know, just breaking the whole thing.
I mean, and I do just think it's worth, you know, just wrapping it up. No, it is worth saying that Bungie has said, you know, not going to continue this for the next season. This was a one-off, you know, Wolf's favor, Ironbird, and they're not bringing it into the season of the Opulence. So this is the next Iron Banners after this next, you know, after the next Iron Banner in the season of Opulence, we're not going to have this anymore. Maybe they'll do something different, but, you know, they said this was an experiment. It didn't work well. We're not going to do it again.
But I just don't think it was fair for the average player or just the player that wanted to grind for it and has come up against this, you know, stumbling block, this roadblock that you can't get past, that it's, you've got to put in way more time than is necessary to get this.
But you know what would have been a good place to put this? You know what would have been an ideal place to maybe test this out, this Crucible game type? Crucible Labs.
Tell me, Parody.
Crucible Labs. If we had put this into Crucible Labs, run it for a week, you would have seen a lot of these problems. But, you know, again, Crucible Labs. Come back, Crucible Labs. We miss you. We love you. Come back to us.
Okay, so this is my rant over and done with. So moving on to news and information. We have got a couple of Reddit posts and threads that we can go over just before we close the show. So Hyperion Grim on Reddit asks, still not going to talk about how Xur hasn't sold any random rolls since the patch. Not nice, Bungie. And Cosmo responded, looked into this and it looks like the change didn't properly work to allow for Xur to have random rolls on the armor. We are currently investigating this issue. And I think a lot of YouTubers that do the videos like Houndish have kind of picked up on this in the last couple of weeks and said, are you sure that there's random rolls? You said there was going to be random rolls, but this still looks like the stuff that we had before. And they've only just come out in the last week and said, oh, yeah, that's not working. So, again, it's not in the TWAB, but it was on a post that was picked up. I think it was on the Xur Mega Thread. I will link that in the show notes. Then we have Zoom Pookie asks on Reddit, Bungie, if you're going to balance the pinnacle weapons of Seasons of the Opulence, please buff the Oxygen SR3. And Cosmo responded, we'll let the team know that there is a lot of feedback to buff the Oxygen. You'll mention upping the damage and combining the perks to open up a slot for multi-kill clip. Let me know if anyone else has any other suggestions. I also see a lot of additional requests for the scouts to be more improved in general. I'll pass that along as well. And I will link that in the show notes.
I would like to second or third or, you know, 58th that call to buff the
oxygen. I know you said that before.
Yeah, and I've played some more with it. You know, it's a fun little gun, but again, it's, just, you know, again, I've got that one and I've got the 21% delirium. That one makes me 21% more delirious when I shoot it because it's hilarious and it's amazing. But, you know, it's sort of like I could bring the basically anything with Dragonfly, like a auto rifle with a Dragonfly onto it, and have more or less the same experience as I do with the SR3 and see it a lot more often because I can proc that Dragonfly a lot more. But, yeah, so I too would like to see that buffed because it could be a fun gun if it was a little more useful.
Okay, so we have Cosmo over on Reddit and the Bungie forum. Apparently they're tracking a bug where the shaders, moods, mods, and alike are refusing to apply. So I think that is, I found this issue when you're in a Crucible game and the tonic runs out, you go to apply it again and it doesn't seem to be working. You just keep holding down the button. And the only time I found that it worked is if I got killed and I was in the death screen at the same time, it would then apply. So they are aware of it. They're investigating. It's not going to be fixed for the next week.
But
so
it's not just with that. Because with that, I've run into what you're talking about, but I didn't have to die. I just had to hold the button down 3 or 4 times, and then eventually it would work. But that happens with all kinds of consumables that I've run into. You hold it down. It looks like it took, but it didn't. It didn't consume it, and it didn't give you the buff. So you try it again. You try it again. You try it again. Same thing with sometimes you try to put a shader on something. You hold the button down. It goes the full length of the bar, but the shader doesn't get applied. You know, so it's a problem in general. It's not just with this potion. It's, I don't know, but I don't want to say you made it sound like it's only with the potions, but I mean, that's kind of what it sounded like, but just it's not just with the potions. This is an in general kind of problem that they've been having. So just do it 3 or 4 times. You'll be fine.
They're also working on a fix for the Vex not counting for this week's Invitation to the Nine pursuit. So this is the pursuit that you need to do for Xur, and it happens to be on the Tangled Shore. There are Vex in, I think it's the Warden of Nothing strike at the beginning, but apparently they don't count for being on the Tangled Shore. So that's the only place that they are. They're working on a fix for that. So if you've come up against that, they know about it. They're trying to get it fixed before Xur pops up again next Friday. They're also investigating the Iron Ruby bug, as they're calling it, with the Iron Banner shader. And they say it should be fixed for next Iron Banner, so they'll let people know if anything changes. And they are also going to let the team know that players would like to see all PvP maps be made available more often in quick play. Cosmo knows that there are some maps and modes of combinations that players have given feedback on that are not playing well, like Control on Emperor's Respite. And I will link that forum post if you want to express your views. And lastly, we have an update for the emblem that you can get for 150 super kills. So originally, when the emails went out, it said you basically had a week to earn the Triumph to get the emblem. But it turns out that you've got until the last day on the 7th of May to earn and claim it. And to apparently find the emblem, go in your collections, go into Flare, Events, and answer the call. And that's where you can find it. Once you've gone onto the Bungie Rewards and claimed it and linked your account, it should show up in your Flare, Events, and answer the call. Or answer call. Moving on to tips and tricks, we've got Ninja Pups has put a video together on how to obtain all the lore pages from the book to get the Chronicle Seal. Unfortunately, anyone that's just coming into the game or anyone that's missed the full Curse Weeks will have to wait longer to obtain the pages from the Queen's Court. But for most part, this guy is a really good guide if you are coming into it later. So I'll link that in the service notes. Fallout Plays also has an update to his video for the service revolver, discussing ricochet rounds being the top tier perk rather than accurized rounds. So that goes along with his previous video, so I'll link that in the show notes. We have Astacross has a video on the Titan Master Race, as Respawn would like to know, proving that their melee is the highest class for damage with 1 million damage per melee. And that's an interesting one. He shows you all the different melees that he tries out and then shows you the highest one. I have a couple of Revelry builds that we have, and one is by ZK Mushroom. He's put a build together using the Bottom Tree Void Warlock, using Devour, Reveler's Tonic for grenades, and 5 grenade mods. And he shows you that you can have unlimited Devour, so he activates it to engage in a gunfight. So with it active and he gets the kill, he gets instant health, and it also increases the length of the Devour. And he calls that his Thanos Warlock build. And another one that I don't have a video for, but it was mentioned on Planet Destiny by one of the guys over there, that their build that they've been running is for a hunter. And they've put 5 melee mods on, Reverie Tonic for the melee, and 4 Reverie Armor pieces, and either the Frosties or the Gemini Jesters. And they use the Top Tree Void for the hunter, so you can throw out unlimited smoke grenades and dodge to go invisible either near them to disorientate them with the Gemini Jesters, or using the Frosties to boost your ability recharge on everything else. So that was quite an interesting build. Rather than throwing out grenades, he was throwing out the smoke, which also causes damage, disorientating people to then, you know, roll in with the kill. So I thought that was quite an interesting build that you could put together.
So, one of the cool things about the Jesters, if it's the same exotic that I have, is when you wear those, you also remove the enemy's radar.
Yeah.
So that's especially evil. On the bright side, they have no radar to know where you are. On the downside is, once their radar disappears, they know you're close.
So yeah, they run.
Yeah, no, it's funny though. They're disoriented. They have no map. They're slow. it's naughty. It's very, very naughty.
And to finish off the show, we have One Weapon Focus by Cool Guy. He does a video series called 5 Minutes of Frames. And this week he's reviewing the sidearm from The Reckoning called the Lonesome. And he goes over how to use the weapon, the TTK, which is the time to kill, and the perks to look out for. So I will link that in the show notes. Has anybody got anything else to say? No? Good, because let's close the show.
Well, thank you for joining us this week for Night Demon and No One Responds in Real Life screaming about guns that nobody has. Your Titans have been parodying Night Demon. Your Hunter is No One Responds in Real Life. You can email the show at 2titansand100@hotmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter at 2titans_hunter. You can find us on Facebook. You can join the Frozen Clan. We are 2titansandahunter on Facebook and YouTube. You can find us on Spotify, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and Google Play. Google Play, Google Play. Stop by. We'll be serving punch all week, and we'll yell about something else next week. Until then, say goodbye, Guardians.
Later, Gators.
Bye.
We are 2 Titans on the Hunt and...